A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The following message came to Jeremiah from the Lord. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, write all the words I have spoken to you in a book. For thus says the Lord, incurable is your wound, grievous your bruise. There is none to plead your cause, no remedy for your running sore, no healing for you. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. I struck you as an enemy would strike, punished you cruelly. Why cry out over your wound? Your pain is without relief. Because of your great guilt, your numerous sins, I have done this to you. Thus says the Lord, see, I will restore the tents of Jacob. His dwelling I will pity. City shall be rebuilt up on hill, and palace restored as it was. From them will resound songs of praise, the laughter of happy men. I will make them not few, but many. They will not be tiny, for I will glorify them. His son shall be as of old. His assembly before me shall stand firm. I will punish all his oppressors. His leader shall be one of his own, and his rulers shall come from his kin. When I summon him, he shall approach me. How else should one take the daily risk of approaching me, says the Lord? You shall be my people, and I will be your God. The word of the Lord. The response, the Lord will build up Zion again and appear in all his glory. The nations shall reveal your name, O Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. When the Lord has rebuilt Zion, and appeared in his glory, when he has regarded the prayer of the destitute and not despised their prayer. Let this be written for the generations to come, and let his future creatures praise the Lord. The Lord looked down from his holy height. From heaven he beheld the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoners, to release those doomed to die. The children of your servants shall abide, and their posterity shall continue in your presence, that the name of the Lord may be declared on Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem. When the peoples gather together, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side of the sea, while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how the wind was, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, "Why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, and the wind died down, those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." After making the crossing, they came to land at Gennesaret, where the men of that place recognized him. They sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought to him all those who were sick and begged him that they might touch only the tassel of his cloak, and as many as touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. It's always an amazing story to read here, and it's one of the most famous moments, I think, in the Gospels, even for those who maybe don't practice our Christian faith or come to church. That story of Jesus walking on water is something that captures everyone's imagination. But truly, it's a very dramatic story, the fourth watch of the night. So this would have been between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., right? They're very, very tired. And obviously, as it says, they're going into the wind. The boat was towards the wind. Everything was against it. And when Peter sees him, despite fear, despite being terrified, is moved to ask him, "Lord, command me to come to you." And the Lord says, "Come." It's a very, very simple reality, but it's one worth noting. Peter only begins to sink when he starts looking around himself rather than on the Lord. He's already walking on water, something profoundly miraculous. But rather than noticing the Son of God who is asking him to come to him, the Lord says the same to you and I, "Come to me." He starts looking at all the conditions around him. Well, there's these waves. There's this wind. It's dark. I'm tired. All the different mitigating circumstances, not to mention that you're already standing on water, Peter, but noticing all of that, he takes his eyes off of the fact that this is only happening. He's above water because of the one who he's going towards. Friends, the same is true for you and I. All the different circumstances that we face in our life, we may not even realize at times that we're walking on water. We may not even realize at times how miraculous it is that the Lord is incorporating us into his mission of spreading the good news. But it all starts to come undone at one particular moment when we stop looking at him, when we take our eyes off of him and become so consumed with everything going around on our peripheries, everything that's coming at us from different angles. Keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. That's the challenge for us. Even with the wind, even with the waves, even with the darkness and the fourth watch of the night, when everything else is clouding in, vying for our attention, the challenge for you and I as Christians is to keep our eyes on the Lord. And we will do much greater things than walk on water if we keep our eyes fixed on him.